This is an ABC podcast.
People plant trees for a range of reasons, but private landholders who have gone down that path of growing high-value timber have had their work cut out for them. Many have been disappointed to discover the regulatory framework and indeed the market has at times punished rather than rewarded tree growers. Throw in a couple of severe tropical cyclones in quick succession and you can start to see that there's a lot more involved than just sticking saplings in the ground. Now that's where the Master Tree Growers course comes into it. It's a concept that was developed back in the 90s, and since then, more than 100 courses have been delivered around Australia and other countries too. Its mastermind, forestry guru Rowan Reed, has been in the far north to launch the first courses to be offered here for nearly 15 years.
Everyone knows the positives of trees, you know, if they're not feeling threatened by someone who telling them what to do. But if you look at your farm, you think, well, trees would be good here for stock, shade and shelter. They'd be good for aesthetics. That drainage line would be better under trees. But yes, there's so many things that go wrong up here. We've got cyclones and disease and insects that come in. If you're growing timber commercially, you have problems with markets. So with that knowledge, we can design plantings that reduce the risk. So our plantings are much more multiple values. So if one thing doesn't work, at least there's the other value. And they're done in sites on the properties which need to be fenced and treated anyway, whether they produce a product or not.
Why does profit continue to be such a dirty word when it's associated with the word trees?
Yeah, well, it's a shame. Like I said, I'm a forest scientist. I bought a property in 1987 with the express purpose of trying to make the act of growing trees and even cutting them down attractive to the farming community. And unfortunately, we've got interest groups that are coming from all sectors, whether they be from the forestry interests or the conservation interests, who are saying you should be planting this species at that scale and doing it this way, and you should never cut trees down. And it's ridiculous, really. I think we've got to talk common sense, share that if farmers do what they want to with trees, we'll actually have more trees in the landscape. It happens around the rest of the world. It just doesn't happen here. I think it's because we've got a young land use mentality with regard to saving everything because we've done so much damage with clearing. But we've got to look at why those trees were cleared, because they weren't perceived as being commercial or useful. So let's make them useful and commercial to the next generation of tree farmers so that there are farms with trees on them for hundreds of years to come.
You showed some slides as part of your presentation today, and one of them was of a 31-year-old eucalypt, proud, tall tree, being chainsawed down. And I have to admit, it did kind of affect me. Tell me why, when it comes to cutting down a tree, you can do that with a clear conscience.
Because I planted it. And these trees we planted, started planting in 1987, we're now harvesting. That tree was milled up on our own mill, dried in a solar kiln on the farm, sold for high-value furniture. So from that one tree, obviously it took some labour, but I made more than $1,000 from that one tree. There are 10 trees in the vicinity of that one that will now benefit from the gap I created. I'd like to argue that when we're taking trees out, which is always done small-scale selectively, we're actually leaving a better quality forest for biodiversity and for future commercial return than what we had. So using the milk analogy for the dairy farmers, I'm taking the cream off the top, but the bulk of the milk is still there and it's providing all the values that we want from our trees on the farm.
If everybody that plants trees does so for different reasons, how can you guarantee that they're all going to gain something from participating in something like a Master Tree Growers course?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So I come from an education background. I developed this program when I worked at the University of Melbourne. I'm not here to promote any particular species or purpose for tree growing. Now, I've done it on my own property. Through frustration of not having enough examples of farmers designing forests that reflect their needs. I've met farmers who planted for conservation, who saw the trees grow really well, wanted to build some stockyards, and saying, well, I can now harvest some of those trees, native trees that I put in that conservation planting, and I understand that it's not going to damage the conservation values. I've seen people plant for timber, and they've said, I don't want to cut the trees down. I enjoy them too much. I love having the stock sheltered by them. I don't want to actually harvest any of the trees. Maybe the next generation will, but they don't want to. It's all different motives. As long as happy farmers with happy trees, it's really the key.
Rowan Reed from the Australian Agroforestry Foundation. He's a forestry scientist and the creator of a Master Tree Growers course. which has now been rolled out at more than 100 locations around Australia and in some other countries too, since it was developed in the 1990s. There's a great energy in the room today, as landholders in far north Queensland, who are either already master tree growers or interested in becoming one, have been invited back to share their experiences.
Yeah, my name is Bud Hickson. I live in Minbun. Came up here about 20 years ago and got very involved with the forestry community. It's been pretty clear that despite the rhetoric about planting trees, politically it's been getting harder and harder all the time. You know, we grow these trees, there could be an industry here now, but we're competing with clear-felled rainforest species from Vanuatu or whatever at the local AMART. You know, there is no synchronicity. What's illegal in this country is not illegal for the people who are importing these products. Now, you know, our issue is not with those people. Our issue is we've got hypocritical laws in this country. The whole carbon thing, you know, once again, I've spent a fair bit of time looking at that. But I don't have any confidence in telling anyone that they should be, you know, hoping that the United Nations is going to pay them something in the future. The truth is that the way the carbon accounting's done in this country, and it's different in each country, that's the other bizarre thing when you start to look at this, that we're actually encouraging the degradation of the land. So there are a lot of reasons why there are less people who, are myopically optimistic about planting trees. Not that there's any problem with that. But there are other opportunities, and one of them that certainly interests me a great deal is the other medicinal products, particularly out of a lot of our species in this region. You know, I think there's many other industries we still really haven't started on.
What have you gained from the experience and the process of planting trees on your land?
It's incredibly fulfilling to be able to see that, you know, to have come here in 2002 and now see forests that I can go, oh yeah, those forests weren't here when I turned up. It's an incredible feeling. But yeah, the forestry community, which sadly has been decimated, that's what today's so exciting. They're very special people, Charlie, and it's always fun to see them again and agree to disagree again.
It's a pleasure to spend a bit of time with you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie. Cheers.
Who knew that tree growers were such an unruly mob?
Me. I'm a forester by training, so I know what they're like. I'm Lorraine Lamoth. I come from Canada, and I went to Papua New Guinea as a young woman and taught forestry in Papua New Guinea, forest wildlife, and I met my husband, who's a forest plant pathologist there.
Why do you grow trees?
We grow trees for the wildlife, mainly, and I guess that has environmental conservation benefits, so water, soil retention, all those sorts of things. And that's where we've done most of our planting work, has been on wildlife corridor type plantings. But we're both foresters. We look at the, say, avocados on the tablelands and say, those are trees in the environment. So trees are good in many ways. They do things to the water table that is a lot better than, I hate to say it, a grass crop as far as I'm concerned.
You've just touched on what I hear a lot, and that is that inherent conflict between agriculture and trees. Where do you see the two coexisting in our local environment?
As a person who likes trees and who plants trees and who's not a farmer, there's lots of ways to get to the end of the road, really, when you think about it. I think I'm having to soften my stand a little bit on where I am. I must say I'm against tree clearing. I think we need to think smarter about how we manage our landscapes. And the people who are planting trees and then cutting them, it's a different kettle of fish than when we first came into this landscape and just cut trees. Treed land is often still called non-productive land. It doesn't have to be non-productive. Trees can be productive, but also can add other benefits to the farm, the farmer, and the environment.
I'm Wojciech Stanisław Perkowicz. I call myself Stan. My block of land, I planted it up with, first of all, with avocado trees and macadamia trees over a fairly long time. They proved not to be successful, and after cyclones and my labour force, my children leaving home, I decided to plant it up with timber trees. I let grass grow longer, and the rain infiltrated the ground, restoring the water cycle, making the ground a sponge. So you're preserving your water cycle, left the grass long, slashed it down, and that puts the bacteria and carbon back in the soil. That just seemed to be right.
So you're still learning after all of these years?
I've only just started learning. I don't think I'll ever finish it. Someone else will take over.
What are your aspirations?
Well, I hope to leave a viable timber plantation for my grandchildren. They'll be middle-aged by the time they get some benefit of it. Meanwhile, I'm harvesting the timber trees, cutting them with a Lucas mill into boards and extending sheds and repairing my timber house.
And how does that make you feel?
Oh, well, it's the most enthusiastic part of the work that I've done. I wish I'd retired. Well, I'm not retired yet, but I wish I had retired earlier and started this earlier.
My name is Kate, and we've travelled from the Sunshine Coast to look at land to buy in the area. And the land we have walked over today, which comprises 120 acres of not virgin forest, but hasn't been logged since the 50s. At the moment, it's predominantly maple, Queensland maple, and we plan to plant a lot more. But of course, we're going to harvest from the block. That's what we do. For every tree we take, we put in, you know, six more or whatever. It's endless, and it's rewarding, and it does makes you feel good.
How wonderful. It sounds like you're an artist with a blank canvas in front of you. What do you hope that you'll be able to achieve on this canvas?
Straight, tall timbers. We have a specialty market. My husband, who is the sawmiller, supplies musical instrument makers, that is guitars predominantly. So we're interested in the beautiful furniture timbers that are straight and tall and not branchy and grow quick.
When you love trees as much as you clearly do, how do you feel when it actually comes to the moment where you've got to chop them down?
It's a double-edged sword. At first, it used to disturb me. And if I see a very old-growth tree, I won't let my husband take it. And he's on board with me there. So the faster they grow in the right conditions, they're the ones that, you know, we're looking to, at the end of the day, take down. But, we came across some trees today that, you know, six people to put your arms side by side and get around this tree to hug it. Things like that, they stay where they are. They belong. They've earned their peace.